Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Crystal C. Note is a visionary artist whose unique blend of music and message has garnered acclaim and recognition across the industry. And the acclaimed artist behind her groundbreaking debut album, Shadow Works, is set to captivate audiences once again with her second studio album, Wake Up, which continues to push boundaries and inspire audiences. And Crystal C. Note is our guest on This Week in America.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
This has to be an exciting time for you. You've got 12 songs. You've worked for months, spending literally, I'm sure, hours writing, selecting, nurturing, and now you're ready to go public and say, here they are. What is this like for you as an artist to have 12 of your creations all ready to debut?
It is super exciting. It's been definitely chaos, though, because I have to kind of wrangle that creativity now and focus on getting that out to the world instead of writing more, which is what I always want to do.
Well, it's so interesting what you've done, and we'll talk about in detail how you continue with your message and reaching people with your music. It kicks off with a Wake Up album event. Talk briefly about that. We'll let people know where they can get tickets.
Sure. It's at Stan's Room in Pierre's in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it is a dream-themed event. I love themes. I like taking a theme and run with it, and of course, because of the title, Wake Up, it just made sense to make it a dream theme. So it's also a benefit. It's a live art auction benefit for a Road to Recovery home, which recovery advocacy is important to me, so it was important to make that a part of the event as well. I also have my parents playing Poppin' Fresh, which that's my heart and soul, so I'm excited to have them, of course. And then Decepticons will be backing me up.
This is going to be a major event on a legendary stage, a legendary venue at Pierre's in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Information we'll have on our website, and you can follow Crystal. I'll give you her Facebook page with all that information as we go through the program. I mentioned that several years ago you had the first album. What did you learn from that? What came out of that first album that you decided I want to continue or maybe tweak a little bit for this one?
The first album was definitely a lot of different experiments with sound, with finding my way to sound. Having been in a cover band for a long time and additionally a lot of different influences musically, I kind of thought that would work against me. But when I put that album together and I got to kind of pick what was really near to me, that process showed me, you know, moving forward, what I wanted to keep, you know what I mean? What of those sounds really resonated with me, what I wanted to keep moving on to the second album. So although it was kind of everywhere, it's still like each song is a very important piece of me. It's just, you know, which pieces do I keep?
You know, that's interesting. How do you go about finding 12 and picking the 12, sort of blending different styles, possibly different messages? How challenging is that to put 12 together for an album?
It was difficult. It was a lot more difficult for this album, mainly because, you know, when I made the catalog of what went on the first album, it was a concept album. So that was easy. It was the things that made sense within that concept. So when I moved forward with the second one, and I had really opened up to writing so much more, I had a lot of songs to choose from. So it ended up being I wanted to make sure I was choosing things that were uplifting and inspiring, because, you know, through my writing process, there's things that are uplifting, there's things that are sad, there's things that are angry, and I want to make sure that it was a balance of those.
The album is entitled Wake Up. Talk about the main song that's on there, the lead song, Wake Up. What's the message in that?
So the title track, Wake Up, it's, if you listen to it, it's explanatory in a way that it shows, like, you know, when you're living a life that's not authentic, it kind of can start to feel like a nightmare, you know, if you're not going with the flow and making your necessary changes in life and being who you authentically are, it starts to feel, you know, like it's just a nightmare that you want to wake up from. And so there's a verse in there by ZB, who he plays the part of the boogeyman, and it really talks about, you know, the real monster inside you is fear, and that fear is, it's all you. It's all the things that you're afraid of, that you're not being real about. So it's definitely really deep meaning, and hopefully people can catch that when they listen to it.
Well, you said several things that are interesting, authenticity and then fear. Let's talk with authenticity. That's a common message that you have a lot in your music. How important is authenticity, and how important was that for you to find your place? Come from a musical family. You hung around musicians for years, but finding out who Crystal C-Note is, how important was that to find that authenticity for you, the real you?
It is so very important, and it's definitely still a process. Like, I think we are all collectively working on that. But as, you know, as related to music, it's like finding out who I was after being in a cover band was a difficult process. And then not just the music, but life in general, finding out who you are and just being around people that you can be very much yourself. I think the world is talking about authenticity a lot, and, you know, it's okay to talk about it and good to talk about it, but you really have to go within and find it for yourself. If you're, you know, doing things or hanging around people where you just don't quite feel right, you know, you can change that. You can move jobs, you can move relationships, you can fix it to where you feel like you're really resonating with the things around you. And that's definitely the heaviest theme, like, in my life right now, and the music.
Talk about fear, especially someone who is creative like you are. You will let it out there for us to see. Some may hit, some may miss, and there'll be naysayers that will question what you're doing. How difficult is it to overcome that? And this is not just for musicians. All of us in life, when we're going to take a new step of some kind, we have that voice saying, you know, doubting us that we're hearing. How do we get around that?
Sure. I think my fear mostly is tied to the last question. I'm afraid of not being authentic, because when you're making music or you're making friendships and you're not being yourself, none of that's real. So kind of like the theme of the song. So when you're looking at writing and the process of writing, it really has to come from here. If it doesn't, people aren't going to like it. That's just all there is. It's just, it has to come from a part of you that is the realest.
One of the tracks is Never Said. What can you tell me about that, the message in Never Said?
The message in Never Said is a powerful one and some of my favorite lyrics. So it says, I can't, let me first preface this by saying it's about loving someone who hasn't quite fixed the parts of themselves that prevents a whole, like, love-type relationship. And this could just be a friend. It doesn't need to be romantic. But it's about, the line I like the best goes, I can't love your pieces back together. I can't fix the parts that you're without. And so I think that speaks volumes just right there, saying you can't love somebody back together. It has to be something that comes from within.
How difficult is it writing lyrics like that when you're really trying to get a message across? Do it in a way that's not preachy, but it's a way in music that we enjoy hearing this, and then it resonates with us. How challenging is it to get those messages down to where it makes sense in a lyric?
Oddly enough, this might be a weird answer, but those kind of lyrics, the most meaningful ones, they just come out. I could be just driving down the street, or, you know, something will just pop into my head and I real quick have to make a mental note of it, because the heaviest, most important ones, they just come when you're not trying.
Were you a psychologist in a past life? It sounds like you're very good. I come in, sit on my couch, or sit over here in the chair, cross your legs, I'll get out a clipboard and I'll fix your life. It sounds like you're very good at that, and do that with your music. Where's My Crown is another one. In fact, I think you've teased this one, so people have had a chance in responding to it in a favorable way. What's the background of this song?
Oh, my. So that one is about, you know, having put in the work, and, you know, when you do that towards your goals, some people start to fade away from your life. It just happens. If you're not resonating because you're fiercely pursuing a goal, I mean, it's going to happen. But, you know, the main thing about Where's My Crown is, okay, I've put in the work. Where's my crown? Like, where's it at? Where's the good part of this, where it starts to be that I get to help more people and touch more people on a, you know, in their heart and soul.
Our guest on the program is Crystal Cnote, the album we're talking about to be released by the time you're hearing this, probably released. Wake Up, you'll find it on all the streaming platforms and links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Crystal's Facebook page is Crystal Cnote, and we'll have that on the webpage as well, so you go directly and get that information. One other track on there, Let Me Tell. Explain a little bit about how you put the song together.
So Let Me Tell is the main thing is let me tell you about the underdog that made it. I don't know him, but I'm sure it got him hated. So that's self-explanatory. It is a driving track about like doing what you love and want to do regardless of the people that want to tell you not to. Because when you try to pursue an artistic career, you get a lot of people that, it's not as bad as it used to be, but you get a lot of people that want to tell you, oh, music is hard, the industry is hard, and of course it is, but nothing, you know, you really want to do. If it's worth it, you go forward, regardless of what people say. So it talks about the underdog. It talks about, you know, put your hands up. If you're sick of clocking in, put your hands up. And it's kind of an aggressive type anthem in regards to that. And it doesn't mean go out and quit your job today, but make time and make space in your life for the things that are important artistically, because that's the spice of life. That's the spark. That's what makes us get up and do the things we do. So additionally, the feature on that track is Timbalwolf Tone, Tony Daughtry. And it's one of my favorite verses on the whole album. So I can't give any of those lyrics away. You'll have to listen, but...
And we will do that. Wake Up is the new album from Crystal Cnote. And once you get everything ready, the track's ready to go, you brought in collaborators and contributors, some really impressive people in terms of musicians that you've brought in. Talk about that and what's that like to work with these talented people?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I was luckily blessed to be in a family of musicians. So that's one I got to tap into right away. So I had my brother play bass. I'm not going to be able to name them all by name because I would feel bad if I forgot somebody, but working through IMI, Institute for the Musically Insane, and then Successful Music Studios with T-Zank, and then having access to those, you know, that broad branch of musicians, I was very lucky. I was very lucky. But I was anybody that I felt should be involved in a certain track, it was just an intuitive type thing. I was just like, this makes sense for this person. And then whatever verse they would write, I, you know, here's the parameters and write it. And it would always just fall in line so perfectly with what was needed.
Let's go back and talk about the family again. I don't want to just sort of gloss over that. Poppin' Fresh, if you've spent any time in the Fort Wayne area, you are familiar with Poppin' Fresh. Talk about that, the experiences going out on your own, the encouragement from the family, the encouragement creatively from a creative standpoint. What was that like growing up in a music family?
It was amazing. I'm not like making, you know, I'm glad you say don't gloss over it, because it is such an important part. And I like to talk about often that my parents were different when it comes to support. So I worked a regular job most of my life. I clocked in, and they would always give me a hard time about it. They're like, you need to be making music. So it was awesome, because I got access to, you know, not only experiencing their love of music and their, you know, live performances, and having being surrounded with like dad's record collection, you know, that made a huge impact on my musical tastes. And I think it made me better at picking out what's good music, just having access to all that. And so like being involved with it with mom and pop, and then my brother, of course, they were all out doing it already. So me and my sisters kind of joined in as backup singers. It was amazing. And I look at all that part of our life where we're touring and doing stuff with, you know, going out and doing these shows outside of town. It was like family vacation, but with music. It's like a blues rock version of the Partridge Family, sort of.
Well, I love that analogy. Our guest on the program is Crystal Cnote, and her new album is Wake Up. You'll find it available all the streaming platforms. Her website is Crystal C. Cnote, and that's on Facebook. And we got all that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk a bit from a writing standpoint. What happens when you've got that, and maybe you don't have the writer's block, where you've got this idea, it's just not quite flowing like you think it should. Does that happen to you?
Oh, absolutely. So all the way up until 2020, I just had bits and pieces of things that I would write. And I would have a notebook and I'd be sitting there with crumpled up papers all around me and I couldn't figure it out. So I started researching writer's block. I would look at all the YouTube videos and all the things that I could read about it and figure out what really caused the writer's block. So I came to the conclusion, this is important. If anybody's listening with writer's block, this is very important. The one thing that will stop you is being afraid to fail. So if you're writing something and you're like, oh, that doesn't sound right, or it sounds stupid, and you get in your own head about how bad it is, you have to be bad first. Like, you have to be bad first to be good at something. So you can't look at the writer's block as a bad thing. The way to get past it is to accept that you're not going to be great at it at first. Once I learned that and learned that I could write something down and go back and revise it and go back and revise it, it made it so I don't have writer's block anymore. If I want to write something, I'll sit down and do it. Or, you know, if I hear, you know, this is lyrics going to happen, it'll be a song. And there's, not to make a long-winded answer, but this is important to this. So there's been times where I've had a studio session planned and I'm supposed to go and do X, Y, Z. And my executive producer is listening. So I was supposed to go and do X, Y, Z. But that morning I'm like, but there's a song in my brain and I have to get it out. And so I'll just sit down in 2 hours or so and write and completely finish something. So having come, like circling back from 2020 to not even be able to finish something, to that point, the only thing I needed to do was stop being afraid of writing, stop being afraid to fail at it, because you can always revise it. Be bad until you're good, yeah.
That's interesting. Do it in pencil because you can go back and you can make it as many changes as you want. The first time isn't necessarily the final time. You know, it's interesting. Do you carry like a notepad around with you or a recorder of some kind when you see something? It seems like you observe people and sort of understand situations and then possibly reflect that in music. Are you constantly looking and thinking about song ideas?
Absolutely. And I carry a notebook everywhere I go. I know a lot of people now, it's just, you know, they'll do the technological route where they're texting it. And sometimes I'll do that. But like having a notebook where I can go, maybe this is it, and write it down. Yeah, something strange will spark a song. You really never know where inspiration comes from.
Yeah, I hated to say notebook. I'm dating myself big time there. But notebook, it wasn't a stone tablet. It is a notebook. A yellow legal pad. They really come in handy in writing that stuff down. How do you go about finding venue for your work? You put this together for the album event. What goes through your mind as you're considering maybe putting other shows together, being asked to be part of things? How do you go about finding places for your talent?
Well, one of the other things that I love so much is event planning. I really get into it when there's a theme and I can take off. So it's important for the venue to lend to that, to be able to decorate accordingly. And, you know, of course, Pierre's, where I'm having it, has been very good to me as far as the space that we're using. I've gone like 5 times just to figure out where the tables are going to go. So, to make sure that it's intimate, that people that are going are having an experience for the show rather than just showing up and standing there and watching somebody. It's going to be a theme. It's going to be dress up. It's going to be, a night.
Who influences you when you've got time and you want to listen to somebody else's music? Who is that?
Top of the list, of course, my parents. My dad heavily has influenced me through the music that he's written. It's so good. All of my family writes really good music, I have to say that. Travis is my brother, Dusty and Sarah, and even Barbie, who sings, like, they all have their influence on me as far as I remember just watching them and going, I want to write songs too, and not being able to for a long time. So that's number one. And then additionally, I love AWOL Nation. I love the way that he takes Aaron Bruno, a song, and it paints a picture in a different kind of way with words. And I like doing that. So that's definitely one. There's so many, it's hard to list.
You know, that's interesting. And Crystal Seanote is our guest on the program. Couple minutes left. You can find her on Facebook. We've got all that information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Wake Up is available, all the streaming platforms, and again, links on our website as well. What do you hope the takeaway is as people listen to all the various tracks in Wake Up? What do you hope resonates with them?
I hope they wake up.
Well, I love that. That sort of captures it in 2 words, doesn't it?
It does. I hope that they can see the growth, you know, through the album as far as taking the passion that you love to do and making it a bigger part of your life. That's very important, because I feel like when we talk about, you know, through this interview, authenticity and fear and all that plays a factor in it. So I hope that they take away, wow, like she went from not being able to write at all to like making a couple albums and doing the thing so I can do it too. Because I've said before, and I'm going to repeat that, for me, it's never like, look what I can do. It's more like, look what you can do too. So that's my motivation for doing this.
A part of this is a video that you've got out as well. Tell me about that, because that's exciting as well. You can, of course, go to YouTube and see that there as well. How did the video come about?
I got very lucky to work with Brian Foster at We Are Media and out of Indianapolis. Oh, there you are. I hear you now. I got lucky to work with Brian Foster, We Are Media, and we got together and I had this concept for it with, you know, about the boogeyman and making it very artistic. And there's a dance in there where there's a portion where I'm dancing with my demons is what it's supposed to show. So it's definitely an artistic piece. So if people watch it, they'll understand. And I come super prepared. I'm like, here's the storyboards and here's the stick figure scene note, and this is the scene here. And having Brian be able to put that into a piece of art was an amazing process.
It's amazing, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about the album, what is going into the album, and what it takes creatively to pull this off. And when it's over with, do you start working on the next album? Do you have thoughts? I mean, there was a song number 13 that you came up with here probably that's like, well, what about me? Are you thinking about another album?
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely will focus on singles for a while, as well as writing for potential placements and stuff, because I have a whole lot of songs on the back burner that were not used for the album. So I think it's going to be fun to try to find things that those could fit into and, you know, write for certain themes. I like that. That would be fun.
What's the state of the music business now with all the possibilities out there? You know, you mentioned the streaming. It seems like right now there are a lot of platforms where you can display your talent. Is that accurate? Do you have maybe more than 15, 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've noticed such a huge change in the music industry, and I think it's right now. It's very chaotic. I love that there's access for people no matter what level of skill or what part of your journey you're on. There's access for people to upload it and have people that encourage them. I love that portion of it. When it comes to like professionals that are just putting stuff out, I think it's important to remember not to just do stuff for content purposes, because you see that a lot, like what's trending, what can I do? I'd rather do stuff for art purposes. So that's a difficult place to be in, because this right now the music industry is content. They want that. No, I just want to make art. And if it if it translates into some content, then that's cool. But otherwise, I'm just going to keep making music for the sake of the art of it.
Well, and part of that, and we mentioned that in the event that you had, the Wake Up album event, where there's a philanthropic arm of that as well. Talk about that, because I know that's very important to you, to use the notoriety, the celebrity, what you have, and encourage people to support not only financially, but with their time as well. Talk about the importance of giving back.
That is the most important part of us being here on earth, is lifting up other people. So when it comes to the portion where my heart lies as far as fundraising for, you know, the road to recovery and things like that, it's because addiction has touched my life several times with people that I very much love and care about. So I eventually would like to make a broader impact on that by having, you know, the ability to help lift those people up out of addiction. So it's very important for anybody to find a cause that's outside of yourself and try to give to that.
The big album event is coming up. It's at Pierre's Complex in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Information on that, Facebook is the best place to go. Crystal's Facebook is Crystal C Note. Again, you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Crystal, congratulations on all the success, including the new success for Wake Up. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
It has been our pleasure. We are listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
This Week in America is online. You can visit our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Scott Pinkerton, associate producer of This Week in America. Jay Anderson, segment producer. Ben Watson, webmaster. Otto Bechet, director of engineering and TV production. This Week in America produced and is a trademark of Blue Funk Broadcasting, LLC. For information on all of our guests and to listen to this week's show, our website again at thisweekinamerica.us. And I'm Sean Bratton, executive producer of This Week in America.